You may be seated. Woo! Jennifer, come on up. And let's spill the beans. How about it? I love it.
Y'all give it up for Johnny Erickson Tata. Got it. Wow. On this side?
Where's our coffee? If we're spilling the beans. Claire.
Wow. Okay, so I know last night as we began, we lifted up our cups of faith, did we not? And what did we ask the Lord? Yep, we asked. And then this weekend, through Harold and Elena, through Crystal Payne, through the teaching of God's word, and now through Johnny Erickson Tata, he has answered our prayer. So why don't you just repeat after me, Lord, we have lifted our cups. Thank you for filling them up.
Yes. Mm.
He has. And I thank both of you so much for being a part of how God has filled us this weekend. Wow. That's all I got to say. I one time was at a church in California, Johnny. Well, we're in California. Y'all will identify. I was about to talk to Johnny as if she's the only one who lives in California. It was way back in the day, Crystal Cathedral, okay? And so I was able to speak during one of their services, and at the very end, I said what we do in the South. And all God's people said, and I expected them to say,
amen.
Nope. I said, and all God's people said, and the whole congregation went, wow. Well, I just think that's actually appropriate. That's what I say about this as well. Well, you guys asked some really good questions with Spill the Beans, and I went through them with my conference director, Terry. We pulled out, we couldn't answer all of them, so we pulled out the ones that kind of represented the heart of most. And I've asked Crystal to kind of guide us through this conversation, and let's just spill some beans. So go for it, Crystal.
All right. First question is for Jennifer. How do you speak a message without using any prompts?
Good question.
I do get this question a lot because I do have to memorize things. So let me just clarify that up front. I do this by necessity. I am not going to be prideful enough to think that if I could see, I would not rely on what I could see. Okay? So don't think it's just I'm a big spiritual paragon. But what it proves is that we are capable to memorize. And so the way I do it is I listen to scripture all the time. And so I'm constantly listening. I meditate first because I really want to understand it and personalize it. And then I memorize. And so when it comes to actually presenting teachings like today, like this weekend, I let them live in my heart and mind just for a long time before I present them. But then just a plain pragmatic way do I do it, because we all have to have devices for memory. I create ladders in my mind. So like this morning, we went through 1 Corinthians 16:13, right? Just to remember that reference, 1:1:1, 1 Corinthians 16:13. 6 minus 3 is 3. So I come up with things in my mind to help me register to memorize that. Okay, so I know that's my reference. I know it has 4 parts. And I'm starting with that I'm going to be on my guard, okay? I'm going to stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. No mnemonic device there, just rudimentary memorization. But then I create a ladder in my mind, and each part of the verse has a rung of the ladder. And in between each rung of the ladder, I see pictures of what I'm going to talk about. So you remember when I talked about being on your guard, we talked about female impalas? Well, I had a lot of little ones sitting in my mind's eye on that rung of the ladder because it helped me memorize. And then I would add the scripture. So there's many devices I could talk for hours about, but that's literally how I do it. So don't assume that just because someone has memorized something, it's because it comes natural. It's always an act of discipline, but God equips us. We live by his word. He's going to allow you to memorize his word because he knows that's your life. So meditate upon it. Make it be part of, like what Johnny was just sharing, it's part of your life, it's part of your world. And then it becomes the natural response that you can begin to memorize it.
Wow.
So.
Amazing.
What about you guys? Do you memorize a lot of scripture?
Oh my goodness, yes. I create a scaffolding. When you said ladders, it reminded me very much of the way I do it. Is that with scaffolding, and I've got, oh, my scaffolds would never, they'd fall apart if they were really in real life. They're so unbalanced, but I just put little prepositional phrases and the subordinate clauses and the main clause, noun, verbs, everything gets hung on a scaffold, and I can kind of like structurally see it in my head.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And then you just kind of travel it around in your mind's eye.
I travel through the scaffold.
Yeah.
And I know where I'm going to go next.
Me too. Lord, just help the scaffolding and the ladders not to break. That's beautiful. Crystal, do you use any kind of way that you memorize scripture or that you memorize a teaching? Or
I feel like y'all are way more organized than me. I didn't know I was supposed to have ladders and scaffolds. I'm like, Jesus, help me. That's
girl,
I do a lot of that.
Good enough. We don't have babies at home. I'm just saying, can take up all
your brain cells.
I was
trying to practice my talks, and literally, my husband was going to watch, because I was like, I have 10 minutes, I need to do this in 10 minutes, and there was, one child was crying, he was in and out of the room, and I was like, this is just real life. There was, you know, but I'm like, Jesus, help me. So there's a lot of that.
That's good.
This is a great question. How do you keep from becoming complacent and comfortable in your walk with Christ?
Johnny?
Oh, well, I think my message was just about that.
Yeah.
I steward my hardships well. Mm-hmm. I have learned how to suffer well. I've learned how to be miserable well. Really, mm-hmm. I mean, we're all going to get down. We're all going to get discouraged. But not to wallow in that mire which will push you into a pit. I have been down that dark, grim road to depression too many times to want to go there again. So what keeps me from becoming complacent is every time there's a hardship, a disappointment, a discouragement, a new physical pain in my hip, that to me is a bing,
yeah.
Get close to Jesus. Here's your chance to apply the promises. Here's a chance to climb that scaffolding or that ladder. And just draw close to him. Because I don't know about you, Claire, or the rest of you girls. When I start to feel distant from Jesus, oh no, I don't want to feel like this. Quick, let me get back to you, Jesus. Be my center. Find me. I'm lost. Grab me. Hold me. Do you ever feel that desperation?
Yeah.
I do all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So the whole idea of complacency to me is spiritual suicide. I cannot afford it in this wheelchair. So
that's
those little
call.
Complacencies, when they start to occur, bing, it's your little signal to, quick, make Jesus the center, get close to him, run to the shepherd, get in his fold, hide in the rock, just everything you can do to get close to the Lord Jesus.
Your phrase, complacency is spiritual suicide, something worth remembering. I was thinking as you described that, for me, I don't ever get a chance to get complacent because my need, just like you're hungry, you feel hungry. There's always this spiritual awareness of need, which protects me from complacency. But I will say, I mentioned earlier, depression was a very dismantling process for me. And it wasn't complacency as much as despair. But that is also a bing to press back in. So what about you, Crystal?
I was thinking how not playing it safe. I think we oftentimes want to pursue comfort.
Mm.
And Jesus didn't live a comfortable life. He didn't play it safe. And so stepping out into things that are hard and messy for us foster care, it has really broken me. And I just always am praying, break my heart for what breaks your heart, God. And you have to need Jesus. You can't do it in your own strength. And I think also having teenagers, you need Jesus. Like you just can't do it in your own strength. And so it just every day shows you how you need Jesus.
That's good.
Speaking of teenagers, this one was for me, and it was any tips on teens and technology and cell phones.
Ooh, that's a good one.
This is a question I get asked a lot. And I think that as parents, we love our kids. We want the best for them. And sometimes that turns into us trying to control them. And so we think that if we shut everything down, if we have, they just won't have cell phones, they won't have any social media, and we'll just cut them off from everything, we're going to protect them. But I think we're doing our kids a disservice if we just completely control them. Mm-hmm. If we don't ever teach them how to make wise decisions. And so for us, we have slowly and carefully given our kids just a little bit more freedom and a little bit more opportunity to learn wise decision making as they've showed the character to be able to handle that. Because we want to raise adults, not kids.
Amen.
We don't want our kids to be dependent upon us as parents. And so if you say you're not going to have any cell phone until you're 18 years old, no social media, guess what? You're not training them how to live in this world of cell phones and social media. But I think it is important that you understand the dangers that are out there. Since my job is on social media, I'm very, very aware. And so we have lots and lots of conversations and just explain that to our kids and walk with them and lots of flare prayers up to Jesus in the process.
That's good. That's good.
Okay, this is for Johnny. How did you meet your husband, Ken?
Oh, you've heard this story before.
Evidently not.
Really?
It's on here. Someone ask it.
Okay. Well, first, Ken, stand up, and I just want everybody to see your handsome face.
Woo-hoo!
There you go. Absolutely. Okay. I had broken my neck at the age of 17, wrote the Johnny book in my mid-20s. They did the Johnny movie. I moved to California. I was enjoying my single life. I really was. I had opportunities to travel. I you can choose your own lean cuisine at night or whatever. And so I really wasn't looking to get married. But one morning I was sitting in church, and we had a visiting pastor. He wasn't very interesting. I was bored with the sermon. But, you know, it's Sunday morning, and I didn't want to be thinking about, you know, where I was going to have lunch that afternoon. And so I started praying for the back of this man's head. I just felt, Claire, I can't describe it. I felt compelled to pray for this person. I didn't even know, did not see his face, couldn't tell if he was handsome, couldn't see a wedding ring. Didn't know anything about this guy except he had black hair, and I was supposed to pray for him. Mm-hmm. And so it was so odd that I felt impressed. Okay, Jesus, I'll pray for this man. I prayed for his salvation if he didn't know Christ. I prayed that if he did know Christ, there'd be something in the stupid sermon that might grab him. And I prayed for his relationships at work with his family, friends, blah, 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 blah. And after about 30 minutes, when they pronounced the benediction, I almost wheeled up to this man as I saw him get out of the pew, and I almost introduced myself like, hey, I prayed for you, and I thought that would look a little pushy, I don't know. So I let it drop, and about a month or two later, we were introduced through mutual friends, and literally the first thing I said to this man, Ken Tata, was, turn around and let me see the back of your head. I prayed for you.
Wow.
And that sparked an interesting conversation, and here we are going on 40 years of marriage.
Oh,
I don't know how
wow. I love that. I'm so glad you told that, even if some of us have already heard it, because that is a great story. Great.
The next question is, Jennifer, how did you meet your husband?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was dating his roommate in college, and Tony was his name, and he made the mistake, Tony did, of introducing me in the cafeteria line to Phil. And I couldn't see his face, of course, but this man, his personality just was beaming and gregarious and charismatic and kind, and within a few weeks, Tony was driving me home to Miami, where I lived at the time, taking me home to visit my parents. And Tony said, I know I like you more than me. So tell me who it is you like. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Is it John? Oh, no. Is it Curtis? No. Dale? No. Phil Rothschild? And so Tony graciously let Phil know, and Phil came and pursued me. And I say we dated for 4 years, and he finally accepted my marriage proposal. But yeah, that's how we met, and I'm so thankful. Tony was the best man in our wedding. No hard feelings. But best thing I got from that relationship was Phil.
Next question is for everyone. What do you ladies do to refresh your spirit that is not prayer or Bible reading related?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
What do we do to
refresh your spirits?
Refresh your spirit.
That's not Bible study or prayer. Or Bible. I liked that because I think sometimes as Christians we assume if it's not overtly spiritual, it doesn't count. And I think it does. Our essentials are prayer and Bible. But there are other things that refresh our spirit that are, like for me, I love to listen to books.
Yes.
It totally refreshes my spirit to listen to a book with a wonderful cup of coffee and some dark chocolate. Y'all, that refreshes my spirit. And that's perfectly legit. If I could walk alone, I know going for a walk by myself, just down by the creek by my house, would refresh my spirit. So I have to do it in my imagination. I literally will put on an audio track of a creek, and I will just kind of get on the treadmill and walk slowly and pretend it refreshes my spirit. So yeah, I liked that. What about y'all?
Well, I agree. Audiobooks for me is a big refreshment. Mm-hmm. I love historical novels. I love history. I remember listening to Stephen Ambrose's Undaunted Courage. Oh. It was the trek of Lewis and Clark across the Northwest Pass. I mean, that refreshes me. It just lifts my spirits. But I love to sing, Claire. I just, I'll be outside and I'll see the wave of my neighbor's pine trees and I'll just, your goodness is running after me. And I think singing is a way of opening up our spirits to the Lord Jesus. Mm. When you put on worship music, I'm the kind of person who, if I go into a dark house, all the lights have to go on. Put on the worship music. I like light. I like brightness. I like music. I like good books. It's the way I refresh my heart.
Ooh.
Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, if any of you are familiar with her, she has written a book called Sacred Rest that I highly recommend. She talks about the seven different kinds of rest, and one of them is creative rest, and I thought that was really fantastic for us to think of how we can rest by creating, and that's something that I personally kind of struggle. I create with words, but I don't create with my hands very much, and so I've been trying to do more of that. But also she talks about social rest, and I found that being around life-giving people,
yes,
that is something that is really refreshing to my soul.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I love this.
Last question, should we?
Yeah, is it time for last question?
I'm going to read this because someone...
Oh, read that to
yes,
Johnny.
Okay.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yes.
And then you can ask.
Okay. Johnny, someone wrote this and said, what an honor to see you and hear you speak today. My father has told me a few stories of seeing you ski in the local mountains back in the day.
What?
Wow. She said, Dad was in his early 20s and I believe you were close to 17 years old. Dad had been asked to be on ski patrol, but declined. He remembered you being very talented, unafraid, and able to tackle any mountain. Sounds a bit like you are today still. Oh, that was from Carrie.
I love that.
This is so funny. Because you know what? Carrie's dad's got the wrong quadriplegic. It happens to me all the time. Okay, who here is old enough to remember the movie The Other Side of the Mountain? Okay, Jill Kinmont Booth, right? California Olympic trial skier. She was fabulous. She wrote a book. And when I first broke my neck at the age of 17, I read her book. It was called The Other Side of the Way Out of Darkness or something. And it was so inspired me. I was back in Maryland in a rehab center, and I wrote her. I said, oh, Jill, I just loved your book. It really helped me. And so she and I became friends. And there are so many places where she has gone, oh, I love your mouth paintings. They're so wonderful. I got to tell you this really quick.
Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah.
Okay, I was in a conference, and somebody came up to me afterward and said the same thing. Oh, I just loved your story about skiing. I said, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. That was my friend Jill Kinmon. She's a different quadriplegic. Then you must be the quadriplegic who writes, you draw those little birds in cages. I just love that. Oh, ma'am, that is Ann Adams in Jacksonville, Florida. And so she looked at me and said, well, you must be somebody famous. Remember that, Ken? That was so funny.
But what
tell Carrie's dad, I'm so sorry. I'm honored to be likened to Jill Kinmon.
Oh, I love that. Well, I can say this. The last part of that is true. You have conquered every mountain through Christ ever since. That's for sure. That's for sure. All right, Crystal, what's that last question?
Last question. Can each of you share your favorite life verse?
It's hard to pick one, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
I can share mine while y'all are thinking, if you're needing to think. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18.
I was going to say.
Therefore, did I steal yours?
You stole my verse, but that's okay. I got others.
Okay, good. Well, you did steal one of mine earlier. Just saying. Psalm 119:92, if it were not for your law, I would have perished in my affliction.
Absolutely.
Anyway, okay, but I digress. What was it? 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly, daily, we are being renewed. And our light and temporary troubles are working within us a far greater weight of glory. Because that which is seen is temporary, and that which is unseen is eternal.
Wow.
Amen.
Well, one of my favorite Bible verses is John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54, Jesus says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him. Mm. Of course, that was the Bible verse that kind of like was the dividing line. Many people left Jesus after he said that. Mm. And the Pharisees started speaking of, how can this man say we must eat his flesh? And that's how rumors started about how the early disciples were cannibals because they, quote, were eating the flesh. No, I love that Bible verse because that's how much I need Jesus. Like I said in my message, he says, eat me, drink me. I am your life. I am your bread. I am your water. And Jennifer, I just want to get close, so close to Jesus. It is as though my spiritual veins are hooked up to his, and every day I get infusions of grace. I just want to get just that intimate with him. So that is about the most intimate.
Yes.
It's a little tough, that verse. But to me, it just shows how deeply, intimately, sweetly, nearly I want to be connected with Jesus. Give me your blood, Jesus. Give me your flesh. I wake up every morning and I need you.
Reminds me, Jeremiah, your words came to me and I ate them. And they were the delight of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's beautiful. All right, Crystal.
So a verse that I cling to a lot is, give us this day our daily bread. And I feel like so often I just have crumbs to bring to the Lord. And just giving my crumbs to him and trusting him that he is going to give me what I need for that day. Not for tomorrow, not for 3 months from now, not for 6 years from now, but for today, for this hour. And he is always so faithful.
And then that prayer ends with, that is the Lord's Prayer, right? Yeah. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For, that's where I was trying to get to. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so now, my sisters, the beans are officially spilled. Would you thank my friends? Thank you so much, you guys. So rich, so meaningful.
Thank you.
Woo! Give them a big thank you.